mission to become a rescue, then? Were they, just the two of them, expected to go to the fabled demon web pits to retrieve their captured friend of old? Regis swallowed hard, thinking that a lich didn't seem so formidable after all. "Hold faith," Catty Bree said again, and she moved to gather the pot of broth. Regis nodded, but he could see the fear clearly stamped upon her pretty face. Drizzt was nowhere, by any accounts either of them had heard, and Catty Bree had been gathering such accounts for more than a year here in Icewind Dale. The drow had not been seen in these reaches for nearly 2 decades, if the stories about the Battle of Bryn Shander's Eastern Gate were to be believed. And indeed, Drizzt had gone out of 10 towns in that long past year, to the east, not the west, onto the wild tundra. He was almost assuredly dead, Regis knew. And so did Catty Bree, he realized. And Brunner?
"You went to Stokely on your return for Bryn Shander?"
the halfling asked suddenly. Catty Bree turned and nodded to him, then shook her head slowly, her expression grim. Regis understood the implications. If Brunner had returned to Icewind Dale, he would surely have gone there, to the place he had long called his home, to be with others of Clan Battlehammer. Brunner was not in Icewind Dale, not alive at least.
"There was no promise," Catty Bree said suddenly. "What do you mean?"
Mialiki turned the prism of reality just a bit to offer a chance. Yet her design was not a prophecy, but a hope. Regis swallowed hard.
21 years is a long time, he admitted. I barely escaped death on several occasions, and my road remained long in doubt.
Catty Bree nodded.
Perhaps our friends, were not as fortunate,
the halfling said. Catty Bree held up her hands and gave a little shrug. And Regis noted moisture rimming her deep blue eyes. He moved quickly across the floor and wrapped Catty Bree in a tight hug, needing her support as much as he was offering his own. The Year of the Awakened Sleepers, 1484 DR. Outside Luskin.
"You're sure to be dead then, and so I'll miss ye,"
the farmer woman said to the dwarf who had lived in her barn and worked for her and her husband through the winter.
"And just when I was getting fond of ye, Mr. Bonnigo Battleaxe, off ye go running, and to Icewind Dale of all the foul places. Ah, but what a fool ye are!"
Brunner could hardly contain his grin through the woman's speech. This family had been quite good to him, swapping a bed in their barn's hayloft for his extra set of hands to help them get their farm through the wintry months.
"Winter's breaking early, so say the scouts," he replied. "I telled ye when I joined ye that me time here would be short. The dale'll kill ye this time of year."
Brunner couldn't rightly disagree with the woman. He knew that he'd find snow and mud, deep for both, scattered around the tundra north of the spine of the world. He knew that the wolves and the yetis and the goblin kin would be out in force, hunting for some food after their thin winter pickings. Icewind Dale woke up in the 3rd month of each year, and more folk perished in that month than any other.
"No one's going up there," the woman scolded. "No caravan would leave for another month at the least. Yet here ye are, so sick of the sight of me and my family that ye'd rather run off to die than look at us any more."
Brunner laughed out loud at that one, and he moved across the barn to offer his hostess a great hug. And he noticed only then that she carried something over her shoulder. He pulled up short, looking curiously.
"From my husband," she explained. And she pulled 2 items over her shoulder and tossed them at Brunner's feet. "It'll give ye a chance, at least."
Brunner stared at the curious gifts. A pair of flat discs, they seemed, made of bent wood forming a circumference, and with straps of flat leather set in a weave inside the ring.
"Snowshoes," the farmer woman explained. "Ye tie 'em on, and they'll help ye get across."
Brunner silenced her with another great hug. She didn't need to explain any further, for the first 2 words had revealed the purpose all too well.
Indeed, he had seen such shoes in his first existence in Icewind Dale.
"Ye been good to this old dwarf," he whispered, as he crushed the woman close.
"Old? I got a son at least your age, you fool."
Brunner just laughed and squeezed her tighter. He set off that very morning after a hearty breakfast at the table in the main house, and the farmer stuffed his pack full of bread and eggs and a load of smoked meat. His spirits were high as he began that journey, nearing the end of the second month of the year of the awakened sleepers. But Brunner knew well the dangers ahead, and indeed, it was hard for him to think of this trek as anything less than a suicide mission. If a late-season snowstorm didn't bury him, or the mud didn't swallow him, then surely he'd put his axe to work long before he ever saw the smoke of Ten Towns. But he had to try. His oath, his word, his loyalty, everything that had made him Brunner Battlehammer, everything that had made him a companion of the Hall, everything that had made him twice king of Mithril Hall, meant that he had to try.
5 days, Regis said to Catty Bree, as he entered the small house on the lake and quickly closed the door against a driving rain and sleet storm pelting the whole of Icewind Dale. It was the 14th of Chess, the third month, 5 days short of the spring equinox, the most holy day of Mialiki. Catty Bree nodded.
My birthday, she said. Or rebirthday, I call it.
Regis managed a smile at that, but it didn't hold.
No word? Catty Bree asked.
Not in Lonelywood, nor among the silver-stream dwarves under the mountain.
All through the last few 10 days, Regis and Catty Bree had taken turns going out from the small house and from Lonelywood to gather whispers about any newcomers venturing into the towns. But there had been no whispers to be found, just the quiet of Icewind Dale's hard winter. That same morning, across the Lake of Redwaters in the town of Bremen, the door to the Knuckleheader banged open, and a half-frozen, mud-covered, wild-eyed dwarf verily fell into the common room. Innkeeper Darby Snide was the first to the poor soul, helping him to a sitting position.
"What are you about, then?"
Darby asked of the surprising visitor. The dwarf looked at him blankly, began laughing crazily, and fell over unconscious.
"Look at his axe,"
said one of the Bremen citizens, who had come into the Knuckleheader for his morning meal. Darby noted the weapon, stained with blood and with fur the men of Icewind Dale knew all too well, stuck into several of the blade's many knots.